Joining us this morning on a Capital Call program of sorts, I get to talk one more time with still Representative Earl Sears. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Hey, again, thank you for having us, and it's just a delight to always be here in the radio station. And again, I want to brag on the Potter family. They do a great job of giving a community service, allowing people to come in and talk about events, opportunities, things that are going on in the community. And one of the greatest things they do is during election years, they let people come in with candidates and talk on the radio airways and let people know who's in their community and let candidates communicate to the local district. And so I just want to say thank you to the Potters. But saying all that, today,
yes,
Charlie, I have a special guest. Is the Attorney General of our great state, Mike Hunter. He is in Bartlesville today campaigning. We've already been around, had a breakfast, been around Bartlesville meeting and greet, and getting ready to go to the 10 o'clock forum. As we all know, that is a treasure in our community where candidates get to come and speak directly to the people. And anyway, we're here today, and I just want our community to know that not only do I endorse this man and he has my complete respect and admiration, but I just want the good people to know, truly a public servant. He's got a wonderful background in regards to what he's done, in regards to his career. He was appointed to be the Attorney General when General Pruitt mm-hmm. was picked by President Trump. He is filling out that post, or finishing out that that term. And now he's running for a public office, and he does have an opponent. We all know the election is next Tuesday. Early voting has already started. But I just can't say enough. We are delighted to have the Attorney General in our community, a great friend of mine and one that I endorse completely. And General Hunter, welcome to our community, and you and Charlie take it from there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good to be with you all. Good to be with you. Folks in Bartlesville and in your listening area.
Well, happy to have you here. And tell you what, that microphone is not as sensitive as I think it is. So if you don't mind, I'll just ask you to slide over here and take Earl's seat just a little bit. I hooked it up here shortly as one of, on my, what I'll call my spare hookup in this studio, and it just didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. And
okay.
Now I get to better look at you. And yes, again, early voting is going on. You can mark your ballot at the election board office anywhere across the state until 6 o'clock tonight, 10 to 2 tomorrow. And, of course, like Earl said, 7 to 7 on election day. And let's just talk a little bit about you came into the office, honestly, through the appointment process with good credentials, but first of all, why would you want to run for re-election? It's the longest job interview there is.
It certainly is, and it's exacting, and I think that analogy is apt. You've got a responsibility to present to the people of the state what your record is, what you intend to do, and we've worked very hard at making sure people understand that we have been focused on doing the job of mm-hmm. Attorney General. Our most important clients are the people of the state.
Okay.
We have other clients, the legislature, the governor, state agencies, boards and commissions. But as a public servant, you always have to remember that you represent individuals.
You do.
And they're not data points. They're not names on a spreadsheet. Everybody has families and friends and hopes and dreams. And if you ever get to the point where you become numb to that, you need to get out of public service.
If I were to simplify the office down to one sentence, which is an extreme oversimplification, but you are the top law enforcement officer for the state and get to represent the state in court should someone take the state to court or represent the state if and when you were to go to federal court. So it's a big job.
That's true. We go to court some inside the state and outside the state. You know, there are threats to our rights as citizens of this great country and this great state that are prompted in federal courts around the country. For instance, there's a decision in Colorado that we are working with other Republican attorneys general to get turned around. Believe it or not, a federal judge in Colorado has ruled that their sex offender registry is unconstitutional because it constitutes cruel and unusual punishment. So that is on appeal before the Tenth Circuit. I and I think 19 other Republican attorneys generals have weighed in to try to get that decision turned around, but it's troubling. We're in the Tenth Circuit. Our sex offender registry law is very similar to Colorado, so it is an example of what can happen outside the state that can have a really unfortunate impact on Oklahomans. So we're engaged on that front in a lot of different forms.
It would never be part of your arguments, but speaking as a news person, that that conviction is a matter of public record, and I can report it any time I need to. And certainly as chairman of the local Crime Stoppers Board and as a member of the National Crime Stoppers Board, we make people aware of that type of information on a regular basis. So again, to me, it's a public record.
It absolutely is. And just so folks know, all the research is very clear, whether we like it or not, and whether folks who've offended in this way like it or not, you are three times more likely to defend than, I guess, what I would call the average run-of-the-mill criminal. So there's a reason why we have a sex offender registry.
There is. Some of the other things that will be on your plate, certainly a result of a vote a couple of months ago. Julie Daniels still working with the Legislative Task Force on medical marijuana, but all kinds of rules yet to be written and adopted in that measure as well. And I'm sure your office will have some voice in that decision as well.
So we've committed to assist the legislature in their efforts to, I'm reluctant to use this word, but I'll use it, perfect State Question 788, which is now a statute.
Mm-hmm.
The impact of that statute, the thrust of it, was to provide a very, very liberal law with regard to people's access to medical marijuana. And its consequences are troubling in many ways, particularly with regard to how an employer deals with somebody who has a license. And your ability as an employer to restrict or to oversee in a way that ensures that fellow employees are safe or that people outside the building are safe is something that employers are really struggling with because they have no insulation from acts that might occur. So legislature needs to address that. There are some public health, public safety areas that they're looking at. I think it's great that the working group is underway. Senator Daniels is doing a great job on it. I'm hopeful they'll come up with a consensus. And again, we've committed to assist them in working through that language and getting that bill passed.
A two-tier layer of states along their southern border, more than any other part of the country, deals with an immigrant task force, an immigrant resident. Some of them came through the system, I'll say the same way my grandparents did, only they came through Ellis Island legally, meeting the rules. Others did not, and that certainly is another problem. And it's come up in the political race this year. I think just nearly every candidate is talking about immigration issues one way or the other.
Yeah, it's bewildering to me that there's no emphasis on the part of some people to citizenship and the rights of citizenship vis-a-vis those who come into the country illegally. I think the first and most important remedy to all this is to secure our borders. And how we do that has got to be a function of technology as well as, you know, what you call in military history fixed fortifications. So we got to secure our borders. I'm as sympathetic as anybody is to the plights of families and children who are separated. But at the end of the day, there are citizens in this country whose interests have to be paramount. And although we need to be humane with regard to those who've entered the country illegally, they're not American citizens. They're not United States citizens. And they've committed a crime by entering our country illegally. So places like California, who are literally threatening to charge criminally those who are assisting federal immigration agents in doing their job, is bewildering to me, and that's all I'll say about California.
Thank
but again,
you.
We've got to have secure borders.
I think there's a difference, and sometimes, at least it was part of my history and civics education back in the dark ages, there is a difference between a citizen and a legal resident of the country. There are certain rights and privileges that are reserved for citizenship, voting, and other things that differentiate a citizen from a legal resident.
Yeah, it's another interesting, I guess, footnote to our conversation is the Census Bureau, through the Department of Commerce, is including a citizenship question.
Yeah, which was asked for decades.
Decades and decades. And there are actually Democratic attorneys general, I'm sorry to be so partisan, who have sued the Department of Commerce to get them to remove the citizenship question. Again, I don't know that there's any greater privilege on this planet than to be a citizen of the United States. And for that to be minimized and politicized, because there is no sharing of census data with law enforcement whatsoever. And so the fear-mongering that's going on with folks who are new Americans, that they're somehow going to be shamed or targeted, is completely misplaced, and it's very unfortunate.
Your office is open to emails, to calls from the public. There is a, last time I checked, and I haven't been on the Attorney General website recently, but I believe there's an email and a telephone link there that if a citizen has a concern that I'll say is not or has not been addressed by other agencies, that they can communicate with the Attorney General's office and certain investigative procedures could be instigated.
So we, as I said earlier, Charlie, we really try to pay attention to the interests of every citizen. And what you see frequently is that concern that they have, that problem that they have, as you look at it, you will determine that it's a problem for a whole lot of folks. So, for instance, when we have a Consumer Protection Division that is very active, I doubled our staff complement to that a year and a half ago when I took this job. We will get complaints from people, and as we investigate the complaint, again, we'll determine that it's affected a whole lot of folks. But on an individual basis, you know, we've been able to return almost $500,000 in restitution to Oklahoma citizens who've been defrauded or scammed. And we've been successful in getting those people off the street, getting them prosecuted and making them not only be accountable for their crime, but to pay the person back for the money that they've taken.
You're making a presentation this morning at Friday Forum. Mr. Sears will make the appropriate introduction. I'm sure it'll be about
looking
as friendly an introduction
it.
As you're going to get. Topic of discussion for the folks there, what will you be talking with them in a few minutes?
I'm just going to give them an overview of our activities in the office in a big picture way. I'm going to talk about what we're doing to stem the opioid epidemic, the thousands of Oklahomans who have died as a result of an overdose or addicted, how we're addressing that in a, we think, a decisive fashion. I'm going to talk about the efforts over at the Corporation Commission to ensure that folks aren't paying a penny more than they need to for quality, reliable service. And I'll give them an update, I think, about where we are with regard to our execution protocol.
Okay. Mentioning the opioid crisis, there is a drug take back event that's part of a health fair going on tomorrow at the community center, 10 to 2. I believe Bartlesville, as far as the amount, the most recent drug take back event statewide, I think we were number two in the state. Only Tulsa, I think, brought in more stuff. So we got the message out that people need to dispose of their unwanted and unneeded medications. Like all other drug take-back events, I believe this will be no questions asked, legal or illegal. We just want your stuff.
Absolutely. That's how it works.
Earl, I'll let you close out here for us this morning.
Well, the only thing I'd like to add is just, again, I just appreciate the Attorney General being here in Bartlesville today. And when you're running a statewide race, I mean, you got to get around the state. And I'm just delighted to be part of helping the Attorney General here in Bartlesville today. But just to give you another footnote of the quality individually is I called him about 9 months ago, 8 months ago, you know, in September. Nolan Jones and the Mental Health Suicide Prevention Group does a workshop, community workshop, and they wanted me to ask the Attorney General if he'd come and be on a panel to talk about the opioid epidemic and just the status of that. Mm-hmm. He immediately said he would do that, and he will be here. I'm pretty sure that's September the 7th. He's got to catch a plane to go to New York to fight the good fight on behalf of the people of Oklahoma in front of a federal judge. And but he still made a commitment to come here, and he just I just think that speaks volumes for him. So he will be here on that date to participate in the Mental Health Suicide Prevention Workshop in September, and I'm excited about that.
Looking to be a two-day event, the evening workshop, of course, with the medical professionals, and then during the day for the community to come in and get more information. That's a Capital Call this morning with an opening and closing from Earl Sears. Head over to the RVS Friday Forum, hear more from the Attorney General, and again, you can take care of that early voting today or tomorrow. Polls will be open on Tuesday, 7 to 7. Go vote. And then hear your vote count Tuesday evening on 1400 K1. More coming up in just a moment with Brew and Buzz.